John chapter 6. Certainly glad to see everybody here tonight. All the visitors, visiting home folks, and all the rest of you. And home folks. Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. John chapter 6, verse number 15. Read down through verse number 21. I was reading today and the Lord just got to dealing with me about this, so I felt like it was God's will for me to come and just share this with you tonight. Verse 15, the Bible said, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Amen. If the Lord will help me here tonight, I want to take my text from verse number 17, the last part of that. It said, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. I want to preach to us tonight. I've wrestled around the title for this, but I felt like this is what the Lord wants me to preach on. I want to preach on it's dark and still know Jesus. It's dark and still know Jesus. In reading this, it's not hard to figure out that the disciples had grown accustomed to something in their lives. It speaks of a past experience of something in days gone by. It talks about something that they had grown used to seeing happen. Everywhere they went, Jesus was usually with them. Don't you get that feeling? That was what was there. And it was almost something that we read here in verse 16 that lets us know that they waited a long time before they ever got into that ship and decided to take out on their own and to do what it was that they were intending to do. I feel like in some ways they just kept waiting. Maybe, perhaps, if I stay right here long enough, he'll come to where I am. If we just a few more minutes, but it's starting to, the sun's fixing to go down. It's evening now. We need to get to the other side. Don't wait till it's dark. Come on, we need to make our move now. But I feel like some of them there said, no, we can't do this without the Lord. We've got to have the Lord to help us here. I feel like that even though that many of these disciples were seafaring men, that after they had gotten a relationship with the Lord, Brother Bailey, that they were afraid to try some things without the Lord around where they were. And I don't know about you tonight, but I feel the same way about my life. There are certain things that I do not want to try without the Lord, don't you? I know there's the usual routine. And I don't know what all the things that took place except what verse 15 tells us. The fact that he was in the mountain alone praying and was seeking and talking to the Father right there on that mountain. But the fact is they got down into a ship. Just bear with me a few minutes here. They got into a ship and they began to travel alone. Jesus was alone, but they began to travel alone. They set out and they begin to set course. It's according to what I read here and what I understand about this passage of Scripture. Brother Johnny Christopher, that the Lord had not told them to go to Capernaum.
They had decided to go to Capernaum on their own. Come on now. And it's amazing how many people, when the Lord does not show up just when they want Him to, that they go ahead and decide to take matters into their own hand, and they set the course for themselves. They set their own goals. Are you going to help me tonight? And so they head out for Capernaum. Jesus is not here. He can no longer be the pilot of the ship. Jesus is not here. He cannot give us orders as to where we are supposed to bring in to the next port. So maybe it was unanimous. Perhaps there was a divided vote. But whatever the case was, the destination was set. We are going to Capernaum. And I feel tonight that there is a danger in setting your own course, programming in your own coordinates. I'm telling you, it would have been better that you would have stayed on shore and waited a little bit longer till the sun come up than to have ventured out on your own and run the risk of disaster by trying to sail in the darkness that's coming up around us. There are some facts in this. Come on, I ain't never preached this before, so you'll just have to bear with me here as I try to talk to us about this. The Bible said as they got in the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, it was now dark. Can you realize here that this little statement that is made by John, that this begins to complicate the matters? They were accustomed. It didn't bother them to go out to the sea and to fish through the night. They were usually in a setting position, but to try to find their way across the sea in the dark, even with the way that he speaks this, there is a great level of difficulty that is pronounced in the text here. And it was now dark. It's almost as if fear began to set upon them as they were rowing across the waters, anticipating and hoping maybe we can get there before the last glimmer of sunshine fades behind the mountains. Maybe perhaps we can get to our goal. But John said it was now dark. And I feel like preaching tonight that in somebody's life it is now dark. Come on, you started out on a course uncommanded by the Lord. You set your sail and your direction toward the Capernaum of your own desires. Hear me now. I got to try to preach a little bit to you here. Go in the direction that you wanted to go. But suddenly, somewhere in the middle of your rowing and in the middle of your going, come on, the skies become pitch black and you no longer have the wonderful blessedness of light that makes you aware, amen, of changing circumstances that can arise. So anything that happens from this point on is going to be an element of surprise. You can't prepare for it because you don't know when it's coming. You can't get ready for it. You don't know which way it's coming from. You're in the dark. And I want to tell you, when you are in the dark, you're at the mercy of everything that goes on in the dark. Hey, I want to try to talk to us tonight about this passage of Scripture. It was now dark, and even they realized that Jesus was not come to them. You see, it wouldn't be nearly so bad, because it's not too far back in the Gospels that we can turn and read that they got into a storm in the night. Huh? And Jesus was in the lower part of the vessel. And He just came up and rebuked the winds and the waves. And everything just laid down. There was a sense here that fear had settled into their heart, that they were in danger of running into something that they could not deal with. They had already, and they were already amazed that Jesus was able to speak to the winds and the seas and they always obeyed him. They said, what manner of man is this that he can do these kind of things? And there was a time when you were amazed at it, but now you're in the dark and Jesus is nowhere around. Come on now, I'm telling you here, you can search for every resolution you got in the boat, but when you're somewhere out in the middle of this, come on now, as if things could not get worse. Well, according to the scripture here, it was now dark, and verse 18 said, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind. There was the arrival of darkness. Come on, and then there was the absence of the Savior. And then there was the advancement of the danger and destruction of the sea arose. I want to tell you what was taking place here. Is their little world was caving in. Everything that could go wrong was suddenly going wrong. Come on, and the only explanation is that Jesus is not in it. Come on, something's going wrong. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, I wouldn't want to try to walk through this world without the Lord, with everything that's going on and taking place. What we need is Jesus. Hey, I got to try to preach to you tonight. I hope somebody, a church here tonight, is praying for this preacher as he's pouring out the burden of his heart. The storm is raging. It's not what you wanted. The wind is blowing. The waves are raising up. Come on in now. The last time somebody was sent to the lower part of the vessel and they woke Jesus up. But now there's nobody to wake up because nobody's there. You're out there all by yourself. What are you going to do in the presence of all this devastation without Jesus? I feel certain that they said, what are we going to do now? We weren't prepared for this. What are we going to do now? Where do we go from here? The Bible said that they rowed. They continued to row. Huh? They accomplished somewhat of their desire. Because in the middle of what's going on, the Bible said when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs. I looked this up today. A furlong is about 220 yards, 660 feet. So if they rowed 25 or 30 furlongs, they rowed 3 1/8 miles to somewhere around 3 3/4 miles. And if you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee is 7 miles wide. At the place where they were rowing across, and so somewhere this gives us the indication they made it halfway under their own efforts, but they didn't make it all the way. Everything that they had mustered up, every ounce of strength that they had utilized, every talent that they had thrown into it, every single man on board took his turn at the oars. But the best accomplishment they could come up with is it got them halfway. But can I tell you, halfway is not all the way. Come on, and it is really not much of an accomplishment. The fact that you started, you see, that's not where it's going to end up at. It's not how you start, but it's going to be how you finish. Come on, there's a lot of folks that's made a lot of starts on a lot of things in life. Is anybody going to help me preach tonight? I feel the burden of my soul. I mean, you've thrown everything you got into it. You've tried it your way. You know the last recorded song that Elvis Presley ever wrote or ever sung is he sung, I did it my way. But I'll tell you where it landed Elvis Presley. It landed him. Come on, high on drugs and a heart that exploded under the pressure of what's going on. He did it his way. Got his millions of dollars. But what did it get dream in life. Halfway, it never took him, amen, to the shore of safety. And I want to tell you, you've done the risk of launching out on your own. The best you can hope for is halfway, getting just part of the way through everything that's going on.
I feel like what the scripture's telling us here is that they rolled till they were worn out and they couldn't go no farther. They're right in the middle. Too far to go back, and it's too far to go on. What do you do when you're hung in a cross pull in the middle of something? See, I've heard it said numbers of times, but those that come and visit church, I'm in the middle of something. When I get this done, but you'll never get past the middle. 3.7 miles, 30 furlongs. 3.75 miles. It's only another 3.75 miles and a little more to the other side. And it's only 3.75 miles back to where you started. Where do we go from here? Although it is not stated in this passage that I read to you, there certainly had to be a prayer that went up somewhere in the midst of this. When they suddenly said, I can't take no more. It's dark. I feel like they were on the verge of getting off course. They weren't even sure which direction they were even going anymore. They started for Capernaum, but they didn't even know where they were headed at now. Come on, the storm had messed up the compass. The storm, come on, it wreaked havoc on the sense of direction. And the wind was blowing, and the boat was rocking, and the waves were filling that ship up with water. Anybody going to help me here tonight? And it was dark. You hear me tonight? There is darkness, and it's not only in America. There's darkness not only in Flatwoods, but it's dark in your soul, and you're halfway in the middle, and there's still no Jesus. And I tell you what we need is we need after the sunset and before the sunrise, we need the delivering power of Jesus Christ to get us out of what we have gotten ourselves into. It's been an old saying by them of old time that you made your bed, now lay in it. Heard it since I was just a child. But that's not always the way the Lord works. Sometimes we make our bed in hell. But even there we cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. We run. We make our bed of pleasure and our beds of excitement. But in the middle of everything that's going on, when you thought it was concealed, the Lord comes walking right in that room where you are and tries to get you out. I'm telling you tonight that the Lord is concerned. He's got you on His mind. Because somewhere on a mountain, somewhere in the midst of praying, He suddenly arises from His prayer, comes walking down the mountain, does not even stop at the sandy banks or the rocky shores from whence He started. He does not allow that to become a detour. He walks on the water the same as if He's walking on the ground. He never hesitates, and He's walking with a purpose that while it is dark, you know what the greatest handicap of darkness is? You can't see anything. There's no way to look for an escape. You don't know what to look for.
Do you know why? Then when that water is pitch black and there's nothing that's illuminating anything, your lanterns have long since been blown out and you're left with oars that you're trying your best to row with, and all they're catching is the white cast of the waves that are going up and down beneath you, and you're making no more progress than you did the last time that you pushed the oar around. Are you going to help me here? But Jesus knew, even in the darkness and even in the storm, He knew exactly where they was. He never lost sight of them. Even though they lost sight of Jesus, Jesus was always able in the midst of everything that's going on, able to look at them and see where they are. But I want to tell you, this journey that you're on is going to bring you into a collision course with Christ. Somewhere in the middle of what you're up against, you're going to meet Jesus one more time. No, that's not my intentions. I'm not going to do that. How? When it was so dark, did we read here that it said when they had rowed 25 or 30 furlongs, not when they began, but when they got in the middle, it was dark. It was evening when they started, and dark in the middle. Verse 19 said, they see Jesus. When for the last long while, they hadn't seen anything. And suddenly, they're looking for an escape. I've got to get out of this dungeon. Come on now. Years I've been on a boat on this sea, but never had fear gripped them so much that they knew they were so close to eternity than it was. And the thing that was so disturbing is it hadn't been that long ago when they had been walking with Him, and now He's nowhere around. Come on now. You hear me tonight? One of the worst fears that I have is being absent from the presence of the Lord. As long as the Lord is present, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. But I want to tell you, I don't want to even begin the journey of going anywhere except I know the Lord is right by my side. But I want to tell you, long before they ever saw this image, come on, that was unaffected. He was never submerged. He never got soaked. He never got wet. Are you going to help me here tonight? He was walking on the water, looking right at them. And suddenly they caught a glimpse of Him. And I feel like it's right here that they let go of the oars for the last time and stopped paying attention to their efforts and started looking at what was taking place. You see, God could have met them on the shore. He could have waited till they got the other soul. Sure, but there would always be that sense of accomplishment that they made it through all by themselves. But I want to tell you right here, they're not going any farther. Jesus is going to meet them right in the middle of the worst thing they've ever gone through in their lives. I feel the Holy Ghost. I gotta preach to you tonight. Somebody here is in the dark and in a storm. I'm here tonight because there was nothing else going on. You're here tonight because you rolled it as far as it'll go. And just like an anchor that's dug deep into the bottom, your rowing is giving you no more, come on now, no more progress. You're stuck. Hallelujah. And the sky's not getting any lighter. You can hear the howling of the wind as you can hear it whistling through the tops of the cliffs. of the mountains that overlook the Sea of Galilee. It's given that eerie feeling. I've been there, Brother Bailey. I know what I'm talking about right now. There's cut-throughs in that mountain that the wind picks up out of nowhere. And the clear skies, suddenly a storm of wind comes and raises up out of nowhere. Come on now. It was bad enough to be in the dark, but when that monster of a storm suddenly began to rise up, even though you thought you had mastered the waves, you'd had enough experience that you knew everything about this. Can I tell you, you're at a standstill in the middle of the night. It's after sunset, and the only thing we need right now is we gotta have Jesus. I'm certain that John, that disciple whom Jesus loved, said of Jesus, I was only here. And little did they know that he's already making his mark through the madness, in spite of the opposition, in spite, amen, of the current and the turbulence. He is not waiting on the shore till the storm subsides, but he's watching in the middle of everything that's happening, with his intentions of coming and pulling you out.
You're watching as the waves instead of rolling. You're seeking protection in this little ship. The Bible calls it a ship. It was nothing more than a boat. Hardly room for any more than these 12 men. But suddenly they see Jesus. He didn't just see Jesus walking on the sea as though he was going on by. They see him drawing nigh unto them. My God. It almost looks, by the look in his eye, he's looking at us. And he's walking to me. He's not just on his way to Capernaum. He's on his way for you. It's as if Capernaum can wait. You need me now. This can't wait till daybreak. This can't wait till the sunrise. It's rolled over and over in my mind. One of the last message of the youth rally last year that Brother Noah Phillips preached on Escape at Midnight. It's run over in my mind as I was reading this right here today, as I remember some of the things that he began to tell us that was going on there. The anticipation that was taking place. We need a change. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you what these men were wanting. They wanted a way out. Hey, come on. Hey, they said they wanted a way out. And they knew that if they don't get an instant, somewhere pretty quick, a way of escape, they're not going to make it to see the other side. They rode and they've rode and they've rode and they've rode. How are y'all going to help me tonight? I feel the burden of my soul to try to talk to somebody. Jesus is getting close to you. Come on now. He's coming closer to where you are. Hey, come on now. I don't know about you, but that stirs my heart. Brother Jason, when the Lord suddenly zeroes in on you and he starts walking, I'll tell you what's going to happen is if you'll accept him on board. Come on, as the Bible said, come on, he spoke to them. He gave them advice in the middle, come on, of everything that was going on. He said, be not afraid. It is I. I'm not here to torment you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to cast you out or to criticize. I am here, amen, to get you out of what you've gotten into. Somebody here tonight, hear me while I preach to you. He's here tonight with those words. Be not afraid. It afraid of everything that's going on. I almost feel, Brother Bailey, that the very sight of the Lord brought condemnation to their hearts. No, no, no. We should have waited. It's too late to talk about what we should have done. What we're talking about is what you're in right now. Come on now. We're not going to go back and rehash the past. We're not going to go back and pull up the pages of where you should have been and what you should be doing. What we're going to talk about is where you are now. And there is an approaching man. Come on, he's not a stranger. You know him all too well. You recognize him from a distance. And the closer he comes, you realize his purpose. A fear grips your heart. Oh no, we've had it this time. No, he's here to tell you, it's me. I'm not a ghost. Come on, I'm not a spirit. I'm not here to torment and trouble you or to be your worst nightmare. I'm here for the rescue. I'm here to pull you out of everything that you've gotten so involved in. I feel the Holy Ghost here. You've got wrapped up in this and you're hung in the middle. You know you shouldn't have been there. But I want to tell you, the Lord, with those words of love, His first words are, it is I. Be not afraid. You see, this has got worse than you ever thought it would. It started with just a little taste until it's got to the point. It's over your head. And you're afraid you're about to be consumed. Though you've rode, and I cannot in any way tonight take away from that effort that you tried to quit. You tried to pull through it. But that wind's bigger than you are. And the waves are higher than you are. And their intention is to pull you down to the depths. It'd have been nothing any more than the devil's desire to have drowned these disciples and drowned this preacher's that was collective on this ship and got rid of Peter so he doesn't become the first Pentecostal preacher of the book of Acts. You hear me now? It would have been his desire that if he could have done it, he'd have pulled them under. But I want to tell you, when waves were over your head, they're still under his feet as he walked over, not affecting him. And I want to tell you, that same thing can happen to you as suddenly everything is going wrong. And the Bible said when they saw him and he gave those words that they willingly received him into the ship. Come on, that was a great thing. The first, you've got to take him on board. Don't leave him in the water. It's not enough just to see. It's not enough just to talk to him. It's not enough just to hear his voice. It's not enough to be an eyewitness to his power. You've got to let him come into your vessel. And when you do, verse 21, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Why, Brother Jeff Smith, did it take half the night? But at the appearance of Jesus, we immediately go from the middle to the other side. We go from in the worst part of it to it was as though it didn't even exist. There's not a wave. There's not a blowing of the wind. Tonight the Lord wants to put your feet back on solid ground. He wants to give you stability for those shaky steps. For everything that's got deeper than you are, He wants to pull you out. I don't feel like this is an accident, what I'm preaching tonight. I've been preaching long enough to I don't just preach things because they're pretty good ideas. In fact, I'm very, very hard on myself, Brother Bailey. Unless I just feel the okay of the Lord, I don't preach thoughts. I have no interest in preaching thoughts and sermons and having 3 points in a poem. That has absolutely no interest in me. But what I'm really interested in is something that'll prick my heart and let me know that there's a rescue at the midnight hour. That even when you've got so far in that you can't see any way out, that Jesus can still see where you are. And He's not held up. He's not holding back. He doesn't wait till another day. But when you need Him the worst, that's when He's on call. Come on, and I want to tell you, somebody needs Him real bad tonight. Come on, things have gotten bigger than you are. I said they've gotten greater than you are. Come on, that's why you've covered your head and covered your face as tears welled up in your eyes and said, oh, if Jesus were just here. And I tell you, the answer to your prayer is standing right at the front of your boat right now. He's walked across the water, and the things He's gone through to get to you, I'll tell you what He's here for. He's not here just for a stroll or to show that He can do it. He's on a mission to get you out of your trouble and pull you through your storm. Preacher, you blew it. No. No, I've seen the tears as they've went sliding down on the pillowcase that you didn't want anybody to know. So miserable because you launched out and thought you could make it. You got into it, but the Lord can get you out. What's the words of the psalmist? Notice this. I think I can find it. Maybe I can. Surely I can. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I feel like the Lord just now spoke to me. You're going to sing again. I just feel that. I feel like the Lord just spoke to me. There's a new song coming down the line. He's fixing to pull you out of a pit. Come on now. It beats going down. And it beats dying. Come on now. Come on. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Somebody's going to sing again right here in this service. Come on. It's dark. And still no Jesus. It's dark. Rich, I just wish I could feel something. Here you are. What you ain't felt yet, you're seeing. Come on, you know there's something that's happening in your life right here in this service tonight. God's performing something right before your eyes. Come on, it's out here while you're all alone. The glamour of the lights is not there. Come on, now the thing going on ain't there right now. There's no pleasure. There's no other people. You're out here in a boat all by yourself. And that Jesus chose this place to isolate you. Amen. To show you there is a lifting. That there is a rescue for that one that is in the storm. Amen. My wife comes. I wish I could preach better to you tonight. All I could see today was darkness. And you struggling with the oars of life. Oh, if I could just see Jesus. Oh, what are we going to do, John? Oh, Peter. Take cover. Here comes another time.
tidal wave sweeping over the vessel. Many more of these and you're going down. But just in time, there's a glowing ember moving across the water. He's not hitting the low tide. He's walking on the high side. And he's never out of your sight. What's that over there? It looks like Jesus. But he's not in a boat. And the Lord said, it's I. I got up from praying. And I saw you when you needed me. I heard your cry. Isn't it amazing that even in the turbulence of a storm, those disciples heard the words, "It is I. Be not afraid." As my wife's getting ready to play, I come to tell you tonight, Jesus didn't walk in this service to condemn you, to criticize you, to scold you for your choices. But he came here tonight to give you a means of escape, to get out of it. Brother Jake, I wish I could preach this. I wish I could pull on your heart cords till your tears would freely flow as they have on other days. You're not strong enough and big enough to handle the surge of the tide. But if I could just see Jesus, accept him into my vessel, then I'll suddenly be at the other side. Would you stand tonight? I feel the presence of the Lord calling to souls that are in the dark. Look at me. I've come to set you free. Let's come tonight. Would you come?